This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Buckner only really good there, and he makes it pretty cut and dry. The Mets have only one decision, and that's to fire this guy and to fire him today. And we have completely echoed that sentiment the entire show since 5 o'clock this morning. And, of course, we go 5 to 8 Monday through Friday on 98.7 ESPN. Mike Tenenbaum, who, you know, dealt with something similar, had his star quarterback sending, you know, pictures of his regions to a female employee with the Jets a couple years ago. So he's going to join us at 7:15 this morning to help us make sense of this story right now. But there really, Rick, and we've talked about it all morning, there really is no making sense of this story. This is a very one-sided story. What Jared Porter did was repulsive. He deserves to be fired, and I don't really think there's two sides to this story right now.
No, I don't think there is either. I think there's only one decision for Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson to make, and that is to fire Jared Porter. And it's amazing to me that we're in a situation now where in two instances the Mets have hired people, Carlos Beltran being the first one, that they hire him, scandal breaks, and Carlos Beltran is fired before he even manages a game. And now, you know, fast forward, it's new ownership, new regime, and it's the same situation where you're going to fire your GM before spring training. You're firing your GM.
Well, he did it to himself.
I don't disagree. I just said that amazes me that this is the case. That it's the Mets, and you're in the same spot. Like, new owner, excitement. You know, Mets fans couldn't be more pumped up. I mean, you know, we got away from Jared Porter for a second to ask U.S. Buster about George Springer, and Mets are still going to be active. I mean, depressed market. I could see them signing, you know, George Springer. All the moves that they've made. Just think about the team that we're going to be putting on the field on opening day if they sign George Springer. Yeah. And right now, we spent the last 2 hours talking about our new GM that should be and will be fired today.
Yeah, this puts a damper on it, no question about it. But the one thing to me that makes this different than the Beltran situation is that the Mets, I don't think they could have seen this coming. Like, I feel like they were truly blindsided by, you know, all of these allegations and Jared Porter's past behavior coming to light. Like, they didn't know that this was the individual that they were hiring. I got to believe that if they thought he was capable of doing something like this, that they wouldn't have made him their general manager. Because somebody that sends 62 unanswered text messages and that's sexually harassing a reporter to that level, chances are that they've done that to other people in the past and that they could potentially do that to people in the future, especially if they're in a more prominent position, a position of more power. So I just feel like from a liability standpoint, there's no way that the new owner and Sandy Alderson would hire Jared Porter if they knew about it. Now it's going to be on them as to what they do about it. But to me, the simplest part of all of this is holding him accountable by firing him. I mean, Major League Baseball has a much bigger issue that they have to address. And I was shocked when Buster just told us that there is no entity in place, there's no mechanism for women to use that are covering the sport of baseball in order to file complaints of sexual harassment by club employees. That's shocking to me. Can't believe that doesn't exist in 2021.
And Jared Porter clearly lacks judgment, right? I mean, clearly,
yeah,
for him to do this, clearly lacks judgment.
Saying, yes.
So, I mean, to even consider him to be in your GM moving forward, it seems ridiculous to me.
It is ridiculous. I mean, even if you're the Mets, you're like, boy, this guy's going to be great. We'd love to figure out a way to keep him. You can't. You lose all credibility. You're the laughing stock of baseball if you were to somehow, you know, finagle a way to keep this guy at this point.
Now, there's no way you keep him.
You can't.
There is no way you keep him. And the more you go through this article and read some of the stuff and the fact that when he was, I mean, Jared Porter was notified by ESPN of the story.
And he still denied it.
Well, he said, those are my text messages. He initially denied that he sent pictures until they're like, no, these are selfies of you. Oh yeah, those are mine, but the other ones, they're those of, you know, the lewd pictures. Those aren't mine. Those
like
are
that makes it better.
Images.
Like that, like all of a sudden, aren't. Like all of a sudden, the ESPN and people that work with the Mets and Major League Baseball are like, oh well, guys, those weren't his. Those are just stock photos. Oh, okay, Jared Porter, not the awful guy that in fact we think he is.
So he's admitted it. I mean, he's admitted to doing it. And now the Mets have to do what's right.
And now we wait. And now we wait. Guests on DCR peer via the Goodyear hotline. Let's go to Chris in Elmont. Chris, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
We are okay. I mean, it's not a great story to certainly cover, but we're doing okay this morning.
No, definitely not. I was really caught by the comment where he said that he keeps these stock photos. So if you keep stock photos, then you do this a lot. This is like something you do for fun, not a one-time thing, if you just keep photos of other people's junk in your phone.
Yeah, I don't know what he meant. I don't know where you... I'm only speaking for me. I don't have any, stock joke photos of...
No, I don't think any of us do.
...of other people's genitals in my phone that I can just, just shoot out a text message. I don't understand that either. Either he's lying and it's actually his, or it doesn't matter. Regardless, he sent the picture.
Right.
I don't care whose it is.
It doesn't matter.
There's no way of walking back this side of things if you're Jared Porter. There's no answers that you're going to be able to give today which people are going to say, oh, you know what? Okay, well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, no matter.
He embarrassed the Mets what he did, too.
He embarrassed the Mets, but going back to why he sent the photos, I don't, like you guys said, it doesn't matter. Like, regardless of what his intent was in sending those photos, it was inappropriate, it was unprofessional, and you were harassing somebody that works in that space. Like, to me, I don't know how you can condone that type of behavior. I don't know how the Cubs continue to employ him. I don't know how he ended up getting hired by the Diamondbacks, and quite frankly, I don't know that how you could try to frame it where he could stay on as the GM of the New York Mets. It can't happen.
You can't.
It cannot happen. Like, he does not deserve to be in baseball this upcoming season, and it's on the table that he's never in baseball ever again.
I don't understand what's going through your mind. I mean, it through his mind.
Don't try to rationalize it, Rico. You can't make sense of it.
No, you can't.
Because you'd never do something like that. So for us to try and sit here and rationalize it you're not going to be able to do it. And 99.9% of the people listening to the show right now, you can't make sense of it. But some people are depraved, and some people do things that you look at and you just can't believe that they do. And Jared Porter, in this instance, is one of those people.
Porter would send 62 unanswered texts, including 7 photos, between July 19th and August 10th, the day before the final flurry from Los Angeles that included the nude photo.
That's amazing.
62 unanswered, including 7 photos. Like, what is going on? Like, what in your mind is going on where you would think, so there's 62 unanswered text messages. Almost a month has gone by since I've heard anything. Sent pictures and everything else. Nothing. No response. You know what? You know what a good idea is?
A barrage.
One final barrage.
Yes.
With the piece de resistance,
yes.
is the nude photo,
yeah,
of my genitals.
Before I give up here, let me really go with the strong play. Hammer in the Bronx. Hammer, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. This was something that I couldn't even believe last night. I got the tweet from Jeff Passan well before ESPN had it out for everybody to see, and even watching the video about what had transpired a couple of years back. We were on the dawn of a new day, a new era, a couple of months ago, and now we are back on the back page news for the wrong reasons. Like, I look at it from this standpoint, he's most likely going to be fired by lunchtime today. And it's just putting a black eye on us and the organization already after Steve Cohen just took over ownership a few months ago.
Yeah, but Hammer, don't judge. I mean, listen, it's don't judge the Mets for hiring Jared Porter, because I don't know if they knew, and I would hope that if they did know that he would have never been hired in the first place, because it didn't sound like Sandy Alderson had a previous relationship at all with Jared Porter. He was just going on interview, right, and his reputation. I mean, judge them on what they do moving forward, the decision they make moving forward.
But this was something that they had gotten a hold of. At least ESPN had the records of it from 2016, 2017.
Had
the Mets not do diligence?
It's not.
But it's not ESPN story. They didn't report it. They
it's
didn't
not
report
ESPN
it because the woman
the
didn't
Mets
want
with
to move forward with it. She didn't want to sit down and do an interview then. Her motivation
and
to actually...
And that was when she was working for the media, and now that she's not, now she wants to come forward about it.
Well, she wants to come forward because Jared Porter is now a general manager. Back then, he wasn't a general manager. He was director of scouting, so it's different. He's at the top of an organization in baseball. She doesn't want it to happen to anybody else, and I can understand that.
Right.
So that's why ESPN didn't report it, and that's probably why the Mets didn't know about it. What I don't understand is how can a Cubs employee, other than Jared Porter, know about it, try to serve as the intermediary between the two parties, and then not file a formal complaint or report within the organization? Like, you have a human resources department for a reason, for this very reason. How could you not report that if you work for the Cubs? When another employee did that to a woman reporter, how can you do that? That's despicable.
I have a hard time believing that there's a Chicago Cubs employee involved as the middleman between Jared Porter and the reporter, and the higher-ups in the Cubs organization didn't know about it.
But Rico, how do you not file a report about the incident? Like, how could you not do something like that?
Well, because, I mean, the hope for them was they'd just sweep it under the rug. Like, she wouldn't come forward.
It'll go away.
And it will go away.
And I hope it bites them in the ass right now. They deserve it.
It's already bit them. He's already embarrassed the New York Mets. Like, this is, I mean, Steve Cohen has
no choice. I'm talking about the Cubs. There should be some type of discipline for that. The fact that you had somebody within the organization that knew Jared Porter was doing this to a female reporter and chose not to file some kind of report about it, to not talk about the incident, to not bring it to the attention of your general manager, your president of baseball operations, or the owner. The fact that nobody in the organization at that level knew about it, there's something really wrong with that. The woman is no longer in the industry, in part because of what Jared Porter did.
And that's, I mean, it is not like ESPN has the report that has been in contact with the reporter, but it's not their story to go out and like make other teams like, oh, hey, you know, to call up the Anaheim.
You said it right the first time, Rico. It's not their story to tell.
It's not her story to tell.
If the Mets had no idea, you can do all the due diligence you want. You can hire background checks and security and all sorts of stuff. You're not going to be able to dig this up. You wouldn't possibly know this. If ESPN has it and has buried it, and Porter knows, and maybe there's one or two other people that have knowledge of this, you're the Mets. You're not culpable. You're not to blame for this.
If anyone knew, I have a hard time believing he would have been a finalist for the Angels job, too.
Right.
If this was something that people knew.
And what we do know is Sandy Alderson's a good man. He is.
Yes, yes.
And there is no way that you could convince me that Sandy knew this and hired him in spite of this. No way.
But again, you always ask the question, like, how some of these guys get, like, how, you know, guys keep getting jobs, how people get hired, is because a lot of times you'll just err on the side of a relationship you've already had with the guy. To try to avoid things like this.
Yeah.
Like, Sandy doesn't know this guy. He's going on, I mean, what he's heard from other people in his interview process.
And as a baseball guy, he had a great reputation.
Which is almost just as disgusting.
Exactly. How many people in baseball were coddling this guy and enable him to continue this type of behavior?
Yeah, we'll probably find out in the coming days. Now, DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. All right, before we go, we'll come back and Mike Tannenbaum's going to join us and give us his take on this from a GM perspective.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
Absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy to have you today, Mike. Obviously, a lot going on in the world of baseball and the Mets, which we can certainly get your expertise on. We appreciate a couple minutes. Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's the new time slot working? Everyone rested and energized and ready to roll every day?
I don't think we're ever rested. To be honest, I think energized, I think ready to roll, yes. Rested, I think, is not something you're going to get a lot from us.
What time do you go to bed, Dave?
Last night, I actually fell asleep early. I fell asleep like 9:30.
Okay.
It's too late, Mike. It's too late. I mean, he needs more sleep than that. We all know it. There's only so much X2 he can take. He's all ramped up on X2. I can see him in the Zoom right now. He's all jittery.
Can't sit still, shaking. I'm very excited. All right, so... Mike, I got to ask you the question. I mean, you dealt with this internally with Brett Favre years ago when you were running the New York Jets. This now breaks this story last night on the Mets and Jared Porter. So I don't want to direct you in any area or direction here. I just want to kind of open-endedly ask you, how do you handle this if you're Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen right now?
Yeah, look, every situation's different. These are very serious allegations. I read Sandy Alderson's response and his comment. I thought it was totally appropriate. You have to take these allegations very seriously in terms of exactly, you know, it sounds like he admitted to some texts, but maybe not others. And you have to get to the bottom of it, and you're hopefully that, you know, Porter's going to be very transparent and honest about it. I think you also would like to talk to the reporters, see, you know, what happened, and, you know, you act appropriately once you have everything. Obviously, this just broke last night, but I think Sandy Alderson's first response was the appropriate one for now.
Mike, how much is a GM, you know, looking for, I don't know, I don't care who it is, it, you know, head coach, director of scouting, whatever it is, how much due diligence are you actually able to do? Like, this wouldn't be something that Sandy Alderson, the Mets, would have been able to find out, would it have been?
Yeah, Rick, that's a great question. Everyone goes through security now, be it league, team, sometimes both, you know, when you're hiring people. I've been in a few situations in my career where, you know, we were surprised what happened because you can do background checks, but when there's text messages between two people and there was no charges or nothing ever, you know, rose to the level of a league investigation, it's hard to get everything nowadays. And look, with social media, things may be out there for years that you just don't know of. So you try to do the best you can within reason. And obviously they thought when they hired him, it was under one set of circumstances. But unfortunately, it very well may be different.
Mike, you brought up the investigative work that the league does through NFL security. And I just wanted to ask you this question because we had Buster Olney on in the last hour. And he said that Major League Baseball did not have a pathway for women covering the sport to be able to report incidents like this, sexual harassment or workplace misconduct. Does the National Football League have a way for women covering the sport to be able to report incidents of this type of nature?
Yeah. I don't know all the specifics, Chris, but it's been my experience that they've done a better job in the last several years of being available, having anonymous ways to make complaints or to have investigations. So, again, I don't know all of the specifics in terms of if the media has different ways to get to the league, but I just know through the collective bargaining agreement and in the enforcement of the personal conduct policy, I think, you know, Commissioner Goodell has learned from his experiences. And I think over the last 5 to 7 years, the NFL has done a really good job of availing itself to getting, you know, to hearing different complaints from different people. But again, I don't know if the media has their own separate mechanism.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. And Mike, you said kind of an investigation and talk to the reporter. Can you wait that long? I mean, he's come out and admitted that this was him. He sent these photos of himself. He sent stock photos of what he said. If you're the Mets and you're Steve Cohen, can you really afford to wait? I kind of feel, and Buster kind of had the same take, and the three of us do as well, that you need to act in quickly, and I think you need to fire him today, no?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple different ways to go on it, Dave. You could certainly, you know, suspend somebody indefinitely, you know, pending further investigations. Again, depending exactly what he admits to today, it's very fact specific. There's all sorts of things you can do, obviously, including fire him if you deem that's appropriate after you speak to him. So it's a very fair point. So, again, I thought what Sandy said last night was appropriate given where they were. And, you know, these stories, I agree, tend to move quickly. And if he admits to more things today, they certainly could fire him as early as today. So they definitely have a few different paths they could go by depending on how the facts unfold over the next several hours.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here in the show. Mike, let's just get away from the story for a quick second and ask some football questions here. I'm sure Chris is going to ask you about, you know, what we saw in, you know, this weekend's games. But I want to ask you, because you know how much I love the Jets, and I know you love Deshaun Watson. I know you would give up, you know, whatever it would take to get Deshaun Watson. But as a GM, because like, the argument is, well, Houston would be stupid to trade Deshaun Watson. As a GM, how do you know when you have no other option but to trade someone, even as good as Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think you just have to sit down with him, Rick, and just, if I'm Nick Caserio, the new GM of the Texans, I just say, hey, look, I don't know what happened before I got here, and it's disappointing that we're even having this conversation, but I promise you we're going to start fresh and we're going to move forward together. And there's a way you can do that where you just build trust day by day and you just try to stack one good day on top of the next. And I want to be really clear, that's what I would do. Like, and that's the hard part about when we see GMs, and by no means was I perfect, I made a ton of mistakes, but where you see other GMs fail, generally speaking, is Nick Caserio's job right now is not to determine if player A is better than player B. His job is totally different than the one he just left in Foxborough. His job is to create immediately a meaningful relationship with one of the five best players in our sport, who, by the way, is 26, under contract for the next 5 years, and is a great leader. Like, that guy can't leave your building. That's the object of the exercise. And Nick Caserio, unfortunately, is learning how to play GM going 90 miles an hour in the left lane, and that's the job description right now. It's not evaluating players. It's not writing reports in a room. It's going to see Deshaun Watson in a place where he's comfortable with his agent, taking out your yellow pad and being a great listener, and then working really hard to try to fix that problem.
Mike, I rarely, if ever, second-guess Andy Reid, but I'm going to do it here based on the play call we saw in the third quarter. Third and one, you're up 12, got the ball at midfield, and seems like you're in control of that game. Why make the play call for the speed option where Pat Mahomes gets the concussion? Can you put any fault on Andy Reid, and does Pat Mahomes deserve any blame in that situation playing out the way that it did?
I think what you're doing right there, you're paying a tax. You know, you're paying the Andy Reid aggressive tax. And, you know, they've won a championship. They've been historic. There was some statistic during the game that was remarkable. In 60 straight games, they've had the lead. That is unbelievable to think that over a five-year period, at some point in every game, they've had the lead. And that's your mindset. That's why you were hired. That's how you're going to go to your football grave. And I think part of it with Patrick Mahomes and – if we go back 10, 15 years, I think where this really first started was The Greatest Show on Turf with Mike Martz and the Rams, which were, they were criticized by some of the traditionalists that, you know, they would slide to avoid a hit. But Martz was smart. He's like, look, I want these guys to play in 60. And Chris, as a defensive player, I know that would drive you nuts. But I think Mahomes needs to know the time and place that, hey, if we have a first down and I'm trusting you to have the ball in your hand as much as you do, there's a time to put your head down. There's a time to slide. And like you said, Chris, when you're up as the way they were, you know, sliding is probably the way to go. But what makes Mahomes, one of the things that makes him so great, guys, is he's such a competitor. He'd want to beat you in backgammon or checkers. So for him to slide, that's something that's going to happen over time and evolve.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, last one for me. We haven't spoken to you since the Mets made the Jets, I should say. So Mets on the brain. Jets made their hire. Rob Saleh. Everyone seems to love this hire. You fall in line there? You love him as well?
Yeah, I like it a lot from a standpoint of oftentimes, and I've been part of this, hiring four head coaches, you're trying to fix a problem. And Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Adams wanted to leave that organization. That's a beautiful facility in New York City playing, you know, football. Guys should never, ever want to leave. So I think it's fundamentally of a new leader, a fresh start, someone that's energetic, that could scale leadership, hold players accountable. I think from a pure football standpoint, when you look at guys like losing Jarski Tart, losing D Ford, losing Nick Bosa, and having a top five defense, that speaks to his football acumen. And there'll be mistakes. You know, he is a young guy that's never been a head coach before. We may be here in the fall talking about why they call timeout, whatever. But hopefully he's the guy for the next 10 years. And I think what they were trying to do and give Joe Douglas and Jaime Elhai, their president, and Chris Johnson, it was clear to me they were trying to fix a problem where players under Robert Saleh, I don't think we're going to hear about Le'Veon Bell wanting to leave or Jamal Adams. And I think that was job one. And I think you got to give them a lot of credit.
All right, Mike, I hate only having you on Tuesdays because Tuesday we ask you, you know, questions about last weekend's games and everything else, and it's tough because I would like to have you on Friday as well so we can kind of break down the weekend's games. So I want to ask you about this weekend's games, championship games. Do you think that Tampa Bay can go into Green Bay and win the NFC Championship?
Well, I think here's the two things that have to happen. When you go back to last week's game, Tampa Bay did a great job of staying balanced just in terms of they had 35 runs, 33 passes. They were balanced. And on the other side of the ball, Cam Akers and the Rams averaged 5.1 yards a carry. So that's the formula. Tom Brady, unfortunately for me, for 20 years, beat my brains in by run, 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 play action, throw it over our head. And that's his game. Like, he wants to manipulate the eyes of the linebackers and play and use their instincts against them. And for them to go up in Green Bay, they're going to have to do that. Control the line of scrimmage, keep Tom Brady clean, run the ball, play action, get chunk plays. And then by running it, you're going to shorten the game, hopefully, for Green Bay. That's going to give them their best chance. But I just think when we go over a 3 to 5 year period, guys, I would be floored if, and obviously Mahomes playing or not playing this week has an impact on the statement. But in my opinion, guys, I think the one seed in this new system has a massive advantage, and that's why I think it's going to be Kansas City and Green Bay. They're the only teams with the bye, and given what's going on with COVID, I think this year it's an even bigger advantage.
Mike, we appreciate your time as always. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
So I'm not left out to dry here, Rick. The powers that be, RJ and Raymond Santiago, have decided we're not going to do three stars today just because of the nature of the conversation. And that it's been so heavy, so they don't want to, you know, hand out stars. So I don't want you at like 58 today to be like, oh, Rothenberg forgot the three stars. That's not okay.
No, I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't do that. No, of course I would do that.
Give
of course
a little more credit for his awareness, Dave. Just a little bit more. He's got.
I wasn't expecting three stars, but I see what RJ and Ray are doing. They're trying to keep you. I mean, you drive the show. They're trying to keep you on their side. We all realize that there's a, what would you say, Canty, 75% chance that Dave would have forgot to do three stars anyway.
No, that's not true.
It's Rule 76, which means Dave missed the three stars today, so no excuses.
Oh, damn!
Dave, you did it twice last week, Dave.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But that's not 75%.
So there's a 40% chance that
I think
you could forget it.
I think that's fair. Yeah. The FBI has it at 40% that I would forget to do three stars. So I
You're
get
a big
no
percentage
stars
guy,
today.
So I just thought I'd put it in a percent for you.
Yeah. I love the percentage. Absolutely love it.
You know who gets no stars, by the way? Whoever that works at the station, and I actually think I know who it is, that told Michael K my lactation protein story from yesterday deserves, to be maybe suspended.
So you told the story yesterday. We'll get back to Jared Porter in a second. You told the story yesterday how you were creating this video for ESPN, and we all did videos. And I saw Chris's last night. It was excellent. And you, as you were creating the video, drank a protein or put into the blender protein, which Cassie has been using for lactation help, correct?
It's a lactation protein, yeah.
Okay, but it's a protein shake kind of thing.
It's a powder, yeah. It's a protein powder.
Right. And Cassie was, she's like, how could you possibly be drinking this and putting this in your in the blender and using this? And it got told, this is just shows you how crazy things are. It got told to Kay that what happened?
That I was actually using Cassie's breast milk. That for some reason, like, Cassie produces so much breast milk that I have a glass container in the refrigerator filled with breast milk, enough to make protein shakes every single, as if she's a dairy cow that produces so much milk that I can just go into the refrigerator and use breast milk.
But wow, it's amazing that someone heard the story yesterday and took it that you were putting like breast milk into the blender. That's not what was said at all.
No, in fact, he started the story with Cass asking him, did he read what was on the label of the protein powder he was taking? That's how he started the story. So I don't know how you messed that up.
I did get chastised, too, by the way. I failed to mention this part of the story as well, because I was just, I mean, the lactation protein was really, like, the best part of the story. She yelled at me, too, because she got me, like, this water filter to, because you know how crazy she is. She's like, you can't drink, you know, water out of the faucet. Fill it up in this water filter, then you put it in the refrigerator. You use that for your shakes. So for the last, I don't know, at least the last month, or maybe even two, I would go to make the shake, and, like, this is weird. There would be this weird smell. Like this fishy smell. And I was like, maybe I just thought it was the blender, but it was no big deal. So I just kept making the shakes and drinking them, like not even thinking about it, which is kind of disgusting if you think about it. And then finally, I think I asked her to put something in my shake because the new time change. She's like, she's down there when I'm doing it. And she's like, what is that smell?
Oh, no.
I said, what is it, like a fishy smell? She said, yeah, it smells like fish.
Oh, no.
And she's like, is that... I was like, I thought that was the blender. That's not the blender? And she's like, no, that's not the blender, you idiot. And then she smelt the water, and apparently the filter of the water filter went bad. And I've been drinking.
God. Oh, my gosh. Drinking.
All right. On that note, as unattractive as that is, let's go to Ozzy in West Point. Ozzy, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I'm just calling in regards to the number of texts that this guy was sending to this poor woman. I'm married and have, you know, the mother of my kids. If I sent who I love with all of my heart, if I send her five texts and she's not responding, I'm going to leave her alone. She's probably pissed off at me for something that I did or didn't do or whatever it is. So I'm going to try to talk it out before I send her any more texts. So the fact that this guy sent over 60 texts and random photos that, yeah, stock photos, yeah. Who, if you buy that, yeah, I got, you know, ocean property in Iowa for you. But that's just insane. What do you guys think?
Ozzy, you know, to the mindset of whatever she's mad at you about, you just, you know, just fire off a junk pic. That should solve everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, even just to, I mean, even you can't even joke about it. It's that ridiculous.
No, it's not, I mean, it's not funny. Nothing about it is funny.
62 texts. I mean, we talked about this earlier. How could you? I agree with Ozzy. Like five becomes a lot. In the day pre-text, when you used to be interested in a girl and you would call, you'd make the one call, and if she wouldn't return it within like 24 hours, maybe you'd make a second call to you know, try to get her to go out with you again.
Yes.
And then after two, I think you're done. 62 texts?
David, 62 texts over the, I mean, this is the course of July 19th to August 10th that included pictures that eventually led to, I mean, when he started firing off the eventual nude picture.
And how do you go from like, hey, how are you? How's things going? Things good? Without getting responses to there? Like, how do you go from A to B?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense.
It never will. Matt and Summit. Matt, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. I just want to touch on a baseball perspective in terms of where the Mets go from here. You know, I was a little surprised that they made the hire, to be honest, and it still felt like Sandy was still calling the shots from a baseball perspective. And I want to hear your thoughts on this, but it felt to me that these guys were always building a gap to Theo Epstein. You know, remember, Jared Porter was hired after Theo left the Cubs. They obviously had, you know, some connection in Boston, Jared and Theo. And Jared always felt like a guy that you could layer next year once Theo became available and was ready. So I'm just curious where you guys think the Mets go from here from a baseball perspective.
I think that was part of the hope for Mets fans, is that the reason why Sandy decided to go away from any previous relationships and hire Jared Porter was because of the ties to Theo. And the thought was Theo would take the year off, and then, because I mean, Sandy still said he wanted to address the, you know, president of baseball operations, which would be something that I think they hope maybe that Theo Epstein would consider doing. And
not no mo. Not no mo.
Not now.
I
mean, I think, and I agree with the caller. I think Sandy is the one that's ultimately making the decisions. But
he is.
I mean, Buster said day to day stuff. I don't think Sandy wants to have to deal with stuff like that. Like the phone calls and everything else.
Well, so now the Mets are back at square one in terms of trying to find the individuals that will be at the top of the organization running things on a daily basis.
Yes, but at least you're not in a rush, because at least you have a guy who's competent to hold down the fort until you decide that you want to bring that new guy in.
Yeah, you'll have time to be able to do this, because Sandy is more than capable in that job, and that's the position that he finds himself in now. Like, it's just like, okay, it's unfortunate it didn't work out. You don't blame the Mets because it didn't work out. But now he's got to take on more responsibility than he anticipated, because the organization is in a position they don't have any choice. They got to fire Jared Porter today. They got no choice.
Yes, you're absolutely right. All right, Rick, I think you love the contest more than most people at the station, right?
I prefer giveaways. But yeah, I mean, especially because this contest actually, you know, ties us to the K Show, which, you know how much I love the K Show.
Oh, we know the love that you have for the K Show. All right, well, here we go. Super Bowl 55 is right around the corner, and when it comes to game day, there's a Bud Light right there waiting for you.
That's BudLight.com / delivery.
That's why 98.7 ESPN and Bud Light are giving away a home gating prize package, including a 50-inch television, pellet grill, cornhole set, pong table, Yeti cooler, and more. We'll be qualifying listeners in the 7 o'clock hour every day through Friday, January 29th, when we announce our grand prize winner of over $2,000 worth of Super Bowl home gating gear. Now, to qualify, you'll need the keyword announced in the 5 o'clock hour of yesterday's Michael Kay Show. So if you know yesterday's keyword, be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, and you'll score an Amazon Echo Dot and qualify to win the home gating with Bud Light grand prize. All from Bud Light. Find a Bud Light at your local beer retailer or locate a delivery retailer at BudLight.com/delivery. And the smartest station in the game, 98.7 ESPN. To listen on your smart speakers, just say play 98.7 ESPN. That is a contest, Rick, but that's a giveaway. I mean, all you have to do is listen to the K Show, and then you listen to our show.
All you got to do is listen. That's it. listen to the K show, wait and come listen to our show, which you should be doing anyway, and here you do that beautiful read, yada D, call in, and you win.
Yeah. So it's not like you have to have a tremendous amount of knowledge, just be competent of listening. All right. Sports Century time, Santi. Mets general manager Jared Porter sent explicit unsolicited texts and images to a female reporter back in 2016. That's according to a copy of the text history obtained by ESPN. The woman, a foreign correspondent who had moved to the U.S. to cover Major League Baseball, said at one point she ignored more than 60 text messages from Porter, who was then working for the Cubs, before he sent a final lewd photo. After receiving the most explicit image, the woman sent him a message asking him to please stop. Porter responded in a series of texts saying he was sorry, will stop, and that he, in fact, apologized. Reached by ESPN on Monday night, Porter acknowledged texting with the woman. He initially said he had not sent any pictures of himself, but when told, exchanges show that he had, in fact, sent selfies and other pictures, he said, quote, well, the more explicit ones are not of me. Those are kind of like joke stock images. The Nationals and starting pitcher John Lester have agreed on a one-year deal. Kevin Durant's big three in the final minute helps the Nets to a 125-123 victory over the Bucks. James Harden, he pours home 34. Kevin Durant drops 30 in the win. Knicks make it two victories in a row after a 91-84 win over the Magic. Knicks lead the league right now in points allowed per game. Islanders with another shutout, second in three games. They beat the Bruins 1-0. Tonight, the Rangers are in action hosting the Devils at the Garden. Coverage begins 6:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN following the Michael Kay Show. And running back Mark Ingram will be released by the Ravens. That's according to sources. So, guys, big story, and rightfully so, what's going on with the Mets. And I think we've discussed this since we started at 5 o'clock. We start every day at 5 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN, and that is there's only one thing for the Mets to do. And, Chris, that one thing for the Mets to do, and it's today, is to fire Jared Porter.
Yeah, they got to move on from their general manager, Dave. There's no way they can retain him. The behavior that he exhibited in this report from 2016-2017 is unacceptable. Like, there's no way that you can condone that type of behavior. And so moving forward, you know, this is something that you just have to cut bait with. Like, there's no way you could justify keeping him in this role after he's shown that he's a liability because of the past behaviors that he's engaged in. Like, I'm not blaming the Mets for hiring him, but now that they've been made aware of these allegations and the facts have been corroborated by various individuals in the Cubs organization and around baseball, like, you have to fire Jared Porter today.
I don't think there's a choice, Dave.
Nope,
I mean,
it's
pretty clear cut to me. I mean, Steve Cohen, when he bought the team, talked about how this new regime would handle their business and be about integrity and all these different things. And you know, it's been great with the Mets. I mean, with the Lindor trade and the signings, and everyone's excited. Maybe we'll sign George Springer. I mean, this is really the first adversity that Steve Cohen has faced. And we'll wait to see what he does, but I would imagine that it's going to be to fire Jared Porter.
You know, I've got a lot of tweets today and a couple of texts saying, like, are you embarrassed as a Mets fan? And I don't know whether I should be or not, but I am. I mean, it's embarrassing. I would feel embarrassed if it was any organization. And being that this is my organization, Rick, I do feel embarrassed that they're going through this and that I root for this team and that this is something that has happened and that this is a guy that they employ right now. I do feel embarrassed.
Well, because you trust the people in charge to do the work, to do the due diligence, so that when they do make the hire, you can feel good about it. Like that everything that they've done has led up to, okay, this is our guy. And they made the decision to hire him, and clearly he was not truthful with the Mets when they asked him, is there anything that we should know moving forward that could come back to bite us in this? And it did. And now, I mean, it's embarrassing. To you as a Mets fan, to me as a Mets fan, to the Mets, period, it's embarrassing.
Dave, you brought this up earlier, and I think it bears repeating. Like, Sandy Alderson is a man of impeccable character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't question his integrity when it comes to the game, but also when it comes to the individual. So, to me, I don't think he would knowingly hire somebody that he felt like is capable of doing something like this as his general manager. I don't think he would do that. I don't think he would do that to himself. I don't think he would do that to Steve Cohen. So, I really think that it's likely that the Mets didn't know about this, but we have to judge them on what they do moving forward.
That's right.
And they should fire Jared Porter in short order. I don't think this is going to take all that long. I mean, they released a statement last night when the article dropped, and now it's just a matter of time. But it's going to happen at some point today. There's no way they could justify keeping him as their general manager beyond today.
I would be stunned if we started our show at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we're 5 to 8 every weekday on 98.7 ESPN.
It can't happen, Dave.
And there's no way that he's going to be your GM. Jerry in Brooklyn. Jerry, you're next up on 98.7
ESPN. Good morning. And I, too, feel that no person in our country should ever have a barrier placed before he or she that deprives them of earning an honest living in their industry. I think with that, listen, I don't have all the answers, but I have 35 years experience working with most of the at-risk populations, the formerly incarcerated, people with disabilities, battered women. And I could tell you this, that, you know, what really bothers me about Porter is not so much the 60-plus unanswered texts, but his lack of consideration of a woman that wanted no part of it. It was not ever about her. It was all about him, his selfishness. And that really bothers me. I also have some thoughts. You know, Chris, you said it well. When you went in for an interview, they knew more about you than you knew about yourself. I think anyone that's ever worked for a company has taken a sexual harassment workshop. And I'm wondering what the Cubs knew, if they let it slide, if he was too powerful on, you know, coming up in the system, that they didn't call him in front of the carpet. So I'd like to eventually find that out. One more quick point. I hope to hear today from women at ESPN that are in the industry. I wonder what your wives might feel about this situation. I'd like to hear maybe from Debbie Duhaime. I'd like to get a woman's perspective today. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, we appreciate the phone call, and I think a lot of it is accurate of what you have to say there. And I think that a lot of opinions are respected when it comes to this. And you're right. I mean, no one should ever feel uncomfortable, period.
Yes.
But especially at the workplace, where it should be as professional as humanly possible.
Yeah, Dave, and the part that strikes me is that there was actually a Cubs employee that knew about this situation and tried to serve as an intermediary, a go-between between the reporter and Jared Porter. And so the fact that there's actually somebody that tried to serve in that role, that tried to play both sides of this and did not file a complaint or report with the Human Resources Department of the Cubs organization, like that, that is baffling. I know you said you feel embarrassed as a Mets
fan. I do.
Fan. Dave, I tell you what, I can't tell you how to feel. I don't think this is on the Mets organization, but it is on the Cubs organization. And if you're a Cubs fan, you should feel embarrassed that this was allowed to go on in what should have been a season that you remember for winning a championship. But now, with this article coming out, people are going to look back at 2016 and saying, I can't believe all of this was going on while our team was winning the World Series.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. I mean, you're talking about a billion-dollar corporation here. That I mean, just to have things like this kind of slide through the cracks, it's amazing to me that stuff like this happens. I mean, that a Cubs employee was actually the go-between. Mm-hmm. And Jared Porter, to this day, till just now, till last night, has never been punished for what he did to this poor woman.
But I feel like that's a part of the cover-up, though, Rico. Like, that's why it feels dirty from the Cubs standpoint. Like, the fact that you had somebody else that was on the payroll that knew about this and didn't file a report or a complaint that rose to the level where something could be done about it in terms of disciplining Jared Porter. Like, that's the part. Like, Rob Manfred has to go back and look at this. And I don't know if there's anything you can do retroactively to the organization, but somebody has to be held accountable for that, because that's wrong. This woman is no longer in the industry because of this guy's actions. And nobody within the club punished him.
The opposite. Forget being
promoted
punished.
Him.
Right. I mean, he got a promotion to Arizona, and then he got the ultimate promotion to the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, now he's in a position, too, where, I mean, it starts from the top with Steve Cohen and then goes down to Sandy Alderson. But, I mean, the GM is, I mean, he's the face of the franchise. Like the GM, he's the decision maker. He's the one that sets the tone. So again, to what we said to kick off the show at 5 a.m., there's no question about this. Jared Porter needs to be fired today.
And soon. By the way, Albert Rodriguez from Astoria is the big winner of the contest, so congratulations to him. And are you hiring? Well, if so, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from their resume database when you upgrade your job post. It's just that simple. Receive a $75 sponsored job credit on your first post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Stephen Lodi is next up on 98.7. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm usually up a little later, so I hit it back into your story. Well, your show. So thank you for having me. What's up to everybody? I just want to say this man should be the spokesperson for tap water, because how thirsty can you be to keep messaging a woman that doesn't want nothing to do with you? You're not a little kid. You're a grown man. This is not high school. You shouldn't even be doing that in high school. If he has kids, he is setting the wrong example for kids, let alone kids around the world, that showing a man in power could just do whatever they want. They should definitely make the final example for him and any other man that does this. Because me, about to be a father of a daughter, this is really unacceptable. This is like, that's really disgusting. And we keep seeing this year after year, and it keeps getting brushed under the rug when something else gets brought up. So that's all I got to say. Everybody stay blessed and have a great day.
Yeah, appreciate it. And you talk about if this happens in high school, you know what happens if you do something like this in high school?
You get expelled.
You're probably expelled from the high school. And that's what should happen here. He should be expelled. He should be fired from his post with the Mets today.
It's not even a question. That is not even a question, Dave. I mean, as far as, you know, what else do you need to know? I mean, I don't know if there's anything else you need to know. I mean,
I don't think there is.
Well, I don't think the Mets need to know anything else, but I think Major League Baseball needs to know more. I think there's more work to be done on that end in terms of investigating and seeing who knew what back in 2016 with this specific instance, but then also finding out whether or not women that cover your sport, women around your sport, are dealing with similar type of circumstances. Like, and if there is something like this that's going on, if these attitudes and behaviors are pervasive, then you got to do something about it if you're Rob Manfred, because you got to protect women. You got to protect opportunities. There should be more diversity and inclusion in your sport. You're fighting for that. And this is a part of that, making sure there's a safe place for these people to do their jobs.
The expectation for anyone that is interested in, I don't care what the business is that they're going to get a fair shake, and it's going to be a
safe.
Professional. Well, it's going to be a professional atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like if I'm a reporter, you're, you know, the director of scouting. Here's business cards. This is a professional relationship we're trying to start here. Not, I need you to blow up my phone with a bunch of disgusting text messages and pictures. And you put her in a spot where she, I mean, doesn't know where to turn.
Right. And she's not even from here. And she thinks, God, in my country, I'm going to be blamed and I'm going to be the one who's raked over the coals. So now there's nothing I can do about it. Now she leaves the industry, and it's just years later that this now comes out. So we're going to find out a lot more, guys, about this story as the day progresses. And again, I've said it all morning and I stick to it. I'd be shocked if he was still the Mets GM tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.